Parents, it's a change of weather, so that little tick on your throat, it can't seem to get through, so I knew I was going to need water this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Colossians as we continue studying through the Word of God in trying to go verse by verse through the book of Colossians. And I hope that it's being a blessing to you. We're in the 14th time we've been in the book of Colossians, and the title of our message today is Jesus Christ Dealt with Sin. And we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. Have you ever dealt with a headwind? You know what I'm speaking of? I want to speak of a headwind. When you're going this direction and the wind is blowing right in your face, that's called a headwind. When there's traveling with airplane and with trains and other modes of transportation, it really can affect you. A really, really strong headwind can really affect you. Sometimes you don't notice, but you can be out walking and there's a wind opposed to you, and it can change your ability to walk or even your desire to walk. How about running? I don't do much running anymore. But I remember in the past, you know, when you're in school and you had to run the 600, or now they do the half mile or whatever they do, and you had that wind against you, or driving a vehicle, and you might get that wind and it's rocking you back and forth. But on really bad days, you got that headwinds coming right at you. And a lot of people that are storm chasers, they know about those. You've ever watched those on TV chasing those storms. A headwind is against us. It impedes our progress. And as we see in the Word of God we're looking at today, we find that Jesus Christ dealt with our greatest problem, the sin problem. It's opposed to us. Sin opposes us. It opposes us when we're young. We don't even realize the concept of sin. It's already opposing us. It opposes us when Satan's trying to oppose us and wants to distract your mind from seeing the goodness of the Lord to be saved. It opposes us. The power of evil has been hurled against us ever since Lucifer, that angel, he decided to sin, and then he decided to tempt Adam and Eve and brought all of the sin under this curse. It was hurled against us, as I was saying earlier, as when we were learning about Christ and our need to be saved. Satan was already hurling his wind of deception against us, trying to keep us from being saved. But even after we're born again, even after we've trusted Christ and we're saved, Satan still is opposing us. There's a spiritual headwind that's against us. So what has Christ done about it? What has Christ done to offset or defeat even so that great headwind of evil that is against us? The Word of God tells us. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 17. So stand as you're able as we give honor and reverence to the Word of God. And we see some of what Christ has done. There's no passage in Scripture that is exhaustive, that tells everything that Christ has done. Each passage builds upon another. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and then circumcision your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses. We looked at that last week, but now verse 14 and 15, add a little more strength to that, explaining how Christ did that in several manners. Verse 14, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Remember, we talk about that headwind being contrary. So that's why I bring that up. That it says here, the ordinances that were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Father, we thank you what Christ has done to deliver us from the great evil that was contrary to us, that was opposing to us, that's a headwind against us, that we could fight with all of our might to try to win victory over our sin, and we could not accomplish it on our own. Dear God, we thank you that you had a plan for our salvation before you laid the foundation of the world. That, Lord, you saw our need, and that only you could meet that need. And we rejoice in what you've done. We celebrate and worship you today as we examine what you've done for us through Christ Jesus. In his name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 13 ends with the great concept of teaching that God is able to forgive us through the amazing work of Christ. Verse 13 and 14 go on to tell us what Christ did to guarantee, to bring to pass this guarantee of our forgiveness. Now, I just want to have two main points today as we look at this. And some of you might be thinking, oh, that's great. Two main points. That won't take long. But let me remind you that looking at worship of our great Savior, we should not spend as much time as we do looking at the concept of time. It doesn't help us in our concept of time. By the way, Dallas is probably going to annihilate the Redskins today. So, you know, we could just go on. It would be a great distraction for me. Now, Lindsay's already rejoicing about that already. I already told her it's probably going to be pretty bad. But she's a Cowboy fan, so she's looking for it. So we won't preach after 1 o'clock so you can get to see the game. All right, just teasing here. An attitude that often can hinder us when we put a time limit on what we want God to do. But I'll tell you what Liz Taylor told her fourth husband. Don't worry, I won't keep you long. So let's look at a couple main points today. Our time together in the Word of God is always exciting, especially as we look at what Christ has done for us. And he desires to tell us of his goodness when we open the Word of God. Number one, Christ dealt with a handwriting that was against us. Christ dealt with the handwriting that was against us. Look again at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The handwriting is spoken here is similar to what we would think of as an IOU. We owe God perfection. That's what God told Adam and Eve. Don't sin. Do right all the time. That's God's standard, is perfection. That's why only Christ could meet the standard, being perfect. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. He couldn't inherit the sin nature as we had, or he wouldn't be perfect. He wouldn't be able to eradicate, to win victory over our sin. It's like an IOU or criminal charges that are written against us. It is a reference to the debt that we owe God for violating his holy laws. Now, look at what God did through Christ. A, what did Christ do? It tells us here that Jesus Christ dealt with the handwritten of ordinance that was against us, number one, by blotting them out. By blotting them out. Like a stain in a garment. He blots them out. Now, we see those advertisements, and you get these chemicals. You got something on your clothes, or you got something on carpet. You just pour it on there, and whoo, it automatically goes away. It works perfectly on the commercials. Doesn't always work so perfect when we get it home, does it? But we know that Christ, what he has done for us, is perfect in his work of salvation, of redemption. He removes the stain. What Christ did, the Bible said, he removes our sin just as our garment stain is removed. The Bible says that all of our sins are as filthy rags. Just think about an old grease rag from out of the shop. Would you take that old grease rag and bring it in and use it that night to wash your dishes? No, most likely not. And we couldn't take our old filthy rags of everything. The Bible says all of our righteousness, everything that we can muster up, still mounts to that of a filthy rag. And that would not wash away our sins. So Christ did it through his blood. Now, the verse goes on to tell us not only what Christ did, but the Bible says how Christ did that. How did Christ blot them out? Number one, it says he took them out of the way. You think about our sin. As I said a while ago, our sin is similar to a headwind that's against us. And think also of it as a big rolling stone that's rolling toward us to overtake of us. That headwind that we talked about as we started would be just taking that big stone, big boulder on a head, on a highway, and that wind has come against us, and it's rolling that boulder toward our car. And soon it would overtake us. And that's the way sin is. Sin was coming against us, and soon it would overtake us. But what did Jesus do? The Bible says here that Jesus took it out of the way. In other words, if a car was going down the highway and you were in a car and there was a great headwind opposed to you and your car began to run out of gas. When it runs out of gas, when it runs out of fuel and the engine doesn't turn and now the wheels don't turn and that headwind is going to overtake you. And that's the way we were before Christ came into our life. We were like a car that was running out of gas and there's a great headwind coming against us and it will overtake us. But Christ took our sin by going to the cross. Not only it says that Christ took it out of the way, but it says in this verse, another way that Christ blotted out our sin is he nailed it to the cross. His cross should have been our cross. His death should have been our death. His hurt should have been our hurt. Every pounding of the nails on the Lord Jesus Christ when he was laying there on the cross. And the pounding, every pounding that he took was a pounding for our sin. And he took our pounding, nailing our sin to the cross. I've been at some youth events where they would take a cross and hang in. Put it up maybe near a campfire or something. And they would hand out sheets of paper and they would give a message about dealing with sin and maybe a sin, a particular sin that we're dealing with in our lives at that time and take it and write it on a piece of paper and ask the Lord to help us deal with that and fold it up and then there would be a hammer off to the side and a thing of nails and youth one by one, those who chose to, would take that and nail it to the cross. As a reminder, as a symbolic way to be a physical reminder to us of what Christ did when he went to the cross, and we celebrate the day in our communion. Christ took our sin and nailed it to the cross. The Bible says that he blotted them out. He moved them as a stain from a garment. That's what he's done for us. But number two, let's look at Christ dealt with the principalities and powers and principalities and powers that were against us. First of all, it said Christ dealt with the ordinances or the handwriting of ordinances. Now notice in verse 14 when it says Christ dealt with the handwriting of ordinances, handwriting is a singular word of ordinances that were against us. He dealt with our sin as a whole. And now we see that Christ also dealt with the principalities and powers against us, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Verse 15, we see where it talks about principalities and powers. Having spoiled them. Now this spoiled them is similar to what we think of when we think about one nation overtaking another nation. You remember when the Israelites, God had told them through many prophets that they were going to be taken away captive, and then the Babylonians came toward them and overtook them. Not only did they take their people, the Bible says that the Israelites were overtaken in Jerusalem by the Babylonians, and they took all those instruments out of the temple, and they took them away to Babylon. It was a very sad day for the Israelites. Those were the spoils that another nation took. It's not unusual when one nation overtakes another nation, they take some of the most precious items. When Adolf Hitler and his Nazi armies were coming through and destroying many Jewish families, they took a lot of the artwork, very precious artwork. And eventually there were folks at work to try to get them and get them back to as many families as they could. Matter of fact, there was a movie made all about that several years ago. The Word of God says here that Jesus Christ has done that for us. He took the spoils. When he defeated the devil, he took his followers that would want to be carried away by Satan, and Christ spoiled Satan's what Satan thought he had and took us back to be his own. Now, this verse says that Christ dealt with principalities and powers. We usually like power, don't we? Most people like power, don't they? You want your car to have power, don't you? You want your well pump in your well at your house to have power, don't you? You want your lights to have power. So we like power. We like power when it works for us. When power is accomplishing our desires. We like the wind when it's working for us. When it's turning those turbines to make electricity. We like the wind, but we like lightning. You know, lightning has to do with electricity. If there wasn't lightning, there wouldn't be electricity. And we like electricity when it works for us. Powers can be good, but there's a sense of power that's also negative. The God of the Bible, the God of creation, for some reason, I don't understand, but God in his wisdom did it. He gave Satan a certain amount of power. It's always used for evil. And so this power that the Bible's talking about, verse 15, is not a positive thought. It's not good. It's not in our corner to assist us. But this verse goes on to tell us what Christ did and what Christ is doing with these principalities and powers that are against us. Now let's go back and be reminded why Christ is the only one that's qualified to do all of these wonderful things that we're talking about that Christ does. Verse 16 and 17 of chapter number 1. Flip back just a little bit. Chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. How can we say with such great confidence and enthusiasm that Christ is able to blot out these ordinances against us, that Christ is able to defeat these principalities and powers, verse 16 of chapter 1. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. And so when we say that Christ defeated these, how can we be so confident? Well, he created them, and so what he created, he's able to conquer. And so that should bring us great joy. Hebrews chapter 1, look there if you would. Hebrews chapter 1 gives us another reminder how and why we can put such great confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus, God, who at sundries times, or diverse times, or multitudes times, or at different times, and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers, that's the Old Testament fathers of our faith, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, in whom he hath appointed heir of all things, in whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged their sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And so we see that Christ is so qualified. Look at listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us which who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and given him the head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we see the scripture just says over and again, this Christ, who humbly came to the earth, is over all principalities and powers. And so in verse 15 of our text, Colossians 2:15, the Bible says, and Christ having spoiled the principalities and powers, the ones that were opposed to us, the ones led by Satan and his evil desires. Two operations that Christ performed on those principalities and powers against them. Two operations that Christ performed. Number one, he made a public show of them. He made a public show of them. What Christ did for us was not done in some secret corner of the world. It was in Israel. It was done during the time when Greek was the common language of the world. It was the commerce language of the world. A lot of people knew Greek and other languages, sort of like English is today. It was done at a time when the Romans had just finished this great Roman highway system so the gospel could spread and the good news could spread. It was done after Jews had been spread all over the world, and so when they came in at Passover time, they could see what Christ had done and take that news as they went back home, as they were dispersed all over the world. So Christ made a public show of the principalities and powers that were against us. He did not live his life and do his ministry in some privacy, or debate in secret, or die in secret, or raise again in secret. His apostles, the early church, they did not live their lives in secret. They did not hide away and keep that message. But the Bible says that Christ did his work openly and made a public display of the enemies, triumphing over them by the resurrection. Number two, it says here, he triumphed over them. He triumphed by an empty grave. We are invited to receive the triumph that Christ obtained. It's for us. What Christ did was not die and be raised again so he would have victory for himself. He did it for us. We're invited to live in that triumph, to enjoy that triumph. That's why we worship, because of the triumph that he obtained for us. We're invited to celebrate that triumph. We're invited to live that triumph that Christ did for us. Two main points today. Christ dealt with the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. He wrote a new covenant and overwrote the old covenant of law of sin and death we looked at in Sunday school. Second of all, Christ dealt with the principalities and powers that were against us. He nailed them to the cross. He made a public, open demonstration and defeated them. Who did it? Christ did it. Why Christ did it? Sin. Who Christ did it for? Us. That's a reason for great rejoicing. We come this morning to take of our communion, celebrating what Christ did for us, knowing that we could not do this for ourselves, knowing that no one else did it, and knowing what he has done for us, no one can take that from us. No one can steal or rob the great salvation. Now, before we go into communion,